sunny, warmer, high of 60. I'm Bob Barnum, and that is the latest from the WFAS Weather Center. The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We hope everyone got out to vote this past week. And we're glad you're with us tonight. I'm with the law firm Lippman Crooks, based right here in White Plains, with offices in Fishkill, New York, and New York City. And you can visit us online at lippmancrooks.com. And tonight, our special guest is Peter Muir, from the director of, from the Institute for Music and Health. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you so much. Nice to be on the show.
It is great to have you. Now, you're the director of the Institute for Music and Health. I guess we should start with you telling us what the Institute for Music and Health is.
Well, the Institute for Music and Health was set up about 10 years ago. It's based in Dutchess County, and it's exactly what it implies. We, in the Institute, we work with music, using music for wellness. We do it in many different ways, but I believe our interest, one of our main interests, is working with children and adults with special needs, using music to empower them and to help them in many different ways.
Is this a not-for-profit entity or a for-profit entity?
This is for-profit.
Okay, so it's people don't use insurance to cover this?
No, we don't have that facility at the moment, yeah.
So people would pay for services rendered?
That's it.
Now, is there a criteria for somebody to be eligible to get the services, or anyone can do it?
Anyone can do it. We have particular programs that are suitable for particular types. For instance, we have a program, like a music program, with a whole class. But when you're dealing with special needs, not everybody is suitable to work with a class. We look at the issues of compatibility very seriously.
All right, so there'll be different types of classes.
Yes, but we do try to get a context for everybody that they can fit into.
Now, what's the theory behind this? How does music heal somebody?
Well, how much time do we have? that's a complicated one. The music has therapeutic value, I don't think comes as a surprise to many of your listeners. And that goes back to biblical times. And before that, music in every culture, except maybe our own standard orthodox Western culture, music has been used therapeutically. It's been used for mental cleansing. It's been used for emotional release. It's been used for many, many different things. Read Plato. In Plato, he is very clear. This kind of scale will have this effect. This kind of scale will have that kind of effect. Plato said that soldiers should have music based on certain kinds of scales and not others, because if it was based on other kinds of scales, it wouldn't turn them into proper men. And Confucius said a similar thing. This is the fact that you even need to ask the connection, like what is the connection between music and health. In almost every other culture that it's existed in history, it would just be taken for granted. You wouldn't even need to ask. Now, in terms of how it happens, that's a more complex question. But the basic answer is this. The primary relationship that we have in our lives, and I'm going to talk a little bit psychologically for a moment, is with our mothers. We're born, we live in the womb for 9 months, then we're born. And we're in the womb for 9 months, the mother is like a whole universe. Then we're born, we come out, and she is still our whole universe and becomes, as it were, we get weaned off that. The purpose of music, from an evolutionary point of view, is for the mother to comfort the child while in the womb and soon out of it, for instance, through lullabies. And any mother will tell you that if you want to get the baby's upset, the baby needs comforting, the best way to do it is to hold it, to rock it, and to sing to it. If you speak to it, it's not as good. If you sing to it, it works better. Music has this very, very, very deep connection, very primal connection in the human psyche. Now, because of that, as we go through life, music always evokes that. It always makes us feel comforted. So we all need music. Everybody listens to music. I mean, I hardly ever meet people who say, like, I don't like music or I don't listen to music. People have different tastes in music, but everybody listens to music. And everybody seems to have that need for the comfort, because in a metaphorical sense, in a wider sense, we need to be, as it were, held, need that feeling of security that music gives us because of that very early, very evolutionary, very primal connection.
So when we talk about the healing power of music, we're primarily focusing on psychological healing. It makes you feel good, makes you upbeat, happy. It's not going to fix a broken arm, is it?
Yeah, it does. Because, well, not, not that simple.
I wish we were on TV now. You could see my face.
Not that simple. But here's the thing. Music, you can, because music does what we call raise the life energy, and the life energy is like the basic healing force in that we have in us. It's what the in Chinese medicine is called qi, c-h-i, qi, some is spelled q, which if you go say to an acupuncturist, the purpose of the acupuncture is to raise your qi, to raise your life energy. Music has tremendous power to raise the life energy, to work with this deep energy inside us that is the basis of all health and all healing. And because of that, it puts us in a, what we might call a frame of mind, which encourages positive healing. So it's not like I'm going to sing a song to you and whoops, your arm falls back into place. We're not talking at that level. But in a general way, music in environments is, for instance, in hospitals is, or for operations, all this research has been done, is very, very beneficial. And it really helps the healing process. It really nurtures the healing process.
I'm speaking with Peter Muir, who's the director of the Institute for Music and Health, and we're talking about the healing power of music. Now, it is, does it matter what kind of music we're talking about? Is rock music the same thing as if we're listening to classical music?
No, we know that it's not. Now, our work that we do is called the Diamond Method for Music.
Diamond is based on a person, right?
Diamond's based on a person. And his name, his full name is John Diamond. He's a medical doctor who's a pioneer, been for 30 years a pioneer in the field of complementary medicine. Originally a psychiatrist, and he's, as I said, a pioneer in that field. And he's researched all the different kinds of music, and not just different kinds of music. We mustn't be simplistic about this and say that classical music is good for you and jazz is different, you know, has a different. It, which artists, which composers, which conductors, it will vary enormously. It will vary enormously. And he's researched 150,000 different recordings of music to find out exactly what works and what doesn't.
So your methodologies are based on the Diamond Method. What's different about the Diamond Method from other providers of music therapy?
Many different things. Music therapy, there are quite a number of different types of music therapy, but they are all the work of musicians who got interested in the therapeutic power of music. Del Crow's Eurythmics, for example. This is different. This is a medical doctor who is a pioneer in holistic medicine. He's not just known for his work with music. He's very, very widely acknowledged for many other kinds of work. I mean, he's a very widespread genius who is coming to it from that point of view. So when people work with us, they're working really with health. And they're using music for health, which is why we're the Institute for Music and Health. It's not that it's doing music with a therapeutic value. We're coming to it from the health, as it were, the health aspect, the health side. And that means that our work is I think, wider ranging, and it leads into many other different areas. So it's more holistic. Music therapy is more sort of treatment-based. It's more to do... It can be very effective, and you know, with a good therapist, it's very powerful and it's very important modality. This is more general, and it feeds into other areas of health and other areas of life, which a lot of the people that come and work with us and train with us take advantage of.
Now, is this something so unique, Peter, that people would come from near and far to take advantage of it?
Yeah, we have students actually come from all over the world to work with us, either for intensive type therapy situations, or they come and train with us. At the moment, we have a young man from Australia who's training with us, somebody from Mexico, and so on. People come from all over the world. There is Dr. Diamond's approach, the so-called Diamond Method for music. It is unique, and it's the only approach towards music which for example brings in, say, the acupuncture system, the acupuncture meridians. There's really a lot of research and findings involved in this. To give you an example, Dr. Diamond has 23 books in print, with many more to come, and they cover many, many different areas. So it's part of a much, much larger system that he calls the Diamond Path for Life. So it's not just music, it's all the arts, and it's also, as it were, healthy living, nutrition, and so forth. All these things work together synergistically in a holistic fashion.
Is Dr. Diamond part of the Institute?
Well, he founded the Institute. He doesn't actually work at the Institute. He does his own work. But the Institute is run by myself and my wife, Judith.
I'm speaking with Peter Muir, who's the director of the Institute for Music and Health. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes we're presented with questions that are difficult to face.
Mommy, I don't like my scary dreams.
I know, but Mommy will always be here to make them go away.
But Mommy?
Yes, dear?
Who will make them go away if you die?
Unless we have effective answers to these questions, the results can be financially and emotionally devastating. Littman Crooks provides legal expertise for special needs trusts and estate planning so your loved ones will always be taken care of. For persons with disabilities, a special needs trust can enhance their quality of life while maintaining their public benefits. As a member of the Special Needs Alliance, we design wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and health care directives tailored to your family's situation. Plan for the future today. Call Littman Crooks or visit littmancrooks.com.
Littman Crooks, protecting your loved ones and your life savings. Call 684-2100.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
That's littmancrooks.com or call 684-2100.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say hi to my biggest fan, my son Max. Max, how you doing out there? I'll see you when I get home in a little while. And right now we're talking to Peter Muir, who's the director of the Institute for Music and Health. And before the break, we were talking about the Diamond Method. And I'm just curious to know, Peter, if you could just give us an example of someone who's come to your institute for assistance, what their needs were before they started working with you, what programs they were involved in, and then how it turned out for them.
Sure. There's so many examples, but one that just pops to mind. A little boy called David with what's known as Fragile X syndrome, which is a genetic, something they're born with. It's a genetic problem, and it relates to autism. So this kid was very autistic and had a number of disabilities.
How old?
When he first came to us, he was 5 years old.
Was he speaking?
He was not speaking hardly at all. And my wife, who's a wonderful therapist, worked with him and said, well, he said she was yelling. She said he was yelling most of the lesson. She said, but I suddenly noticed, I was playing When the Saints Go Marching In on the piano, that he was yelling in tune. And that's how they began their relationship. She worked with him individually for a long time, and gradually he started to sing more and more accurately. Then we took him on one of our outreach programs. Now, we have this, I think it's a wonderful program called the Especially Musical Program, special as in special needs. And what we do is this. We teach all the students on the program the old songs, like You Are My Sunshine, You Are My Sunshine, and Yes, Sir, That's My Baby. Yes, Sir, That's My Baby. No, Sir, I Don't Mean Maybe. So we teach them to sing those. We make music together. But then we take them into nursing homes, and we have them make music with the seniors. And this is Dr. Diamond's idea. It's an extraordinary idea, and it's different from, say, doing a concert, which is just a kind of formal performance situation. The idea is that each of them relates individually to a senior, and they kind of partner up with a senior. They hold the hands, They look into their eyes, as best they're able, and they sing the song with them, the idea that they're thinking outwardly to the senior to get the senior singing with them. So they're thinking therapeutically out to the senior. They're doing, as it were, music therapy with the senior. Well, this young man, David, started to come on these programs, and at first he was very confused. As I said, he had a lot of autism. He had a lot of problems with what's called sensory integration disorder, which means that all the confusion that was going on in that room, all he could do was just sit in a ball in the corner, and that was it. But he seemed to be okay with it. Gradually, he came out of his shell. Here we are some time on, and he now comes bursting into the room. The reason why I'm thinking of him, because we did one of those outreaches yesterday evening. I was with him. He came bursting into the room. He grabs the hands of the seniors. He starts singing all the songs with them, which I'll come back to. He dances with them, and they absolutely adore him, and he's a real cute kid too. Now, one time we were going through, we have a list of songs that this particular group, which has been running for some years, and it has 35 songs on it. He's the only one in the group who can sing all 35 songs word perfect.
By memory.
By memory, of course. Yeah. So there's, and that, what that relates to is now, is, so it's wonderful that his behaviors are so wonderful in this situation. But here's the thing. When you have that happening with music, you have this kind of intensive program with music, it generalizes. Because music is the first area that special needs, particularly autism, will go into because they feel safe. Thereafter, they can generalize from that. It's a bit like when you land on another planet and it says the atmosphere is sort of okay, but nevertheless you go out of the spaceship in your spacesuit and then you kind of check it's okay and you sort of take your helmet off and eventually you kind of step out of the suit. That's sort of how it is. There's, because music, I talked before about why music is therapeutic, it has this maternal, comforting quality. Because of that, it's easier for them to relate through music than it is through words. Talking about autism particularly, easier to relate through music than through words. So they start to relate through music, they realize everything's fine, and then eventually they start to move to words. And over a long period of time, with many, many, many people, I've been doing this for many years, we see remarkable improvements, not only in things like their self-esteem and their socialization skills, but also in the whole condition.
So the program is called the Especially Music Program.
Especially Musical Program.
Musical, yeah. Program. And this is not an isolated occurrence?
No, not at all. Not at all.
So the 5-year-old with autism who is sitting in the corner of a room is now bursting into the room and singing,
yep,
35 songs with,
yep,
seniors.
Yes, and dancing with them, holding their hands and looking into their eyes.
So he's making eye contact, too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
He's making eye contact, too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a direct result of the music therapy.
Well, how can you say that? I mean, it could also be a result of growing up. But we have enough of these going on to say, and we have enough kids where the music is really the main thing they do. We have some kids who, like, they do every kind of therapy you can possibly think of. So if there's an improvement, how do you know it's that and not the horse riding they do on the Saturday? But we have easily enough of that to know that there's a very consistent result. And even with people who are older where there's less obvious improvement, just the fact that they, like, for instance, we have a woman in her 20s who has, she's not autistic at all, but she has a lot of mental impairment. And her mother says this is the only thing she's ever done. Everything else she gives up. This she loves coming to. And she takes great pride, which is a very natural thing, very natural human emotion, in helping the seniors in the nursing home. This is also about providing service to the community and bringing the community together. And she feels really empowered by that. Has it helped her condition? That's harder to say. Has it helped her quality of life? You betcha.
And how long did it take to get from point A to point B?
With this particular woman?
Yes.
Well, she's on the program once a week. We meet throughout the year, most of the year. I would say point B, well, now she's been doing the program for 2-3 years. But I see continuous improvement all the time. Every week she's a little bit different. I see her further along the path.
But from the initial improvement, I mean, does it take 6 months? Does it take a year? I mean,
to where we are now?
To get to a point where you're seeing significant progress.
you see significant progress. If you know what you're looking for, you see significant progress right from the word go, or close to it.
But does it not work on some people?
Sure. But some people, of course not. By the time people get on our programs, we know that they have a strong response to music, and so many with special needs do. Sometimes they have behaviors, that sort of thing, that make it a little bit more complicated. But so many are suitable, and so many do benefit from it.
So if the child has a behavioral problem, oppositional defiant, doesn't listen, is that someone you can treat also?
That's a really interesting one. We have a video that was made in Australia of people using this approach. We have a big program with this in the town of Canberra. And before the outreach, before the kid goes on outreach, you see him throw a chair at the teacher,
right.
Okay, right? You see him at the outreach, and he is so, the only word is loving to the seniors. And what it does is that altruistic environment turns the whole characteristic of the kid around. It's like that the same energy that's being used for very destructively is the same extreme energy is now used to reach out into the community, and we have a lot of track record with that.
I'm talking with Peter Muir, who's the director of the Institute for Music and Health, based right here in Dutchess County, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family, and unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lippman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Lippman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Lippman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Also located in Fishkill.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks with my guest this evening, Peter Muir, who's the director of the Institute for Music and Health. And that was quite an amazing example, a couple examples we heard before the break. And you mentioned the kids and working with the elderly. Tell us a little bit more about that, Peter.
Well, we have these programs which are based on the idea of using music to help the community and help other people. So we take the kids, and actually not just disabled kids, we also take
This is not just for kids with special needs.
No, this is
typical
mainstream
kids, as well. Yeah.
Like as I mentioned, Canberra before, in Australia, the city in Canberra, Professor Susan West, who's a professor of music education at the Australian National University, she has 10,000 kids a week doing this in the whole environment. She's completely revolutionized the whole environment in terms of community, strengthening community ties. We take the kids into a whole variety of environments with seniors, and we have them sing with the seniors. Now, the wonderful thing about this, it has so many benefits. The seniors love it because a lot of the time, seniors in communities, they feel self-conscious, they feel nervous, they know they're sick, they feel sometimes ashamed, they sometimes feel lonely, all those things. But what special needs children and adults do, and little kids as well, because little kids have no self-consciousness, they just cut through all that, and they reach to really inside them, into the human being that's inside all that. And there's this incredible human contact that's made that is actually much more important than the music itself being made. We just see the music as being not the end in itself, but just the means for communication. And when that happens, there's a lot of profound things happen. The seniors start to change. They start to come out of their shells. They start to think outward. As I said, the special needs children and adults start to change. The kids turn into different kinds of citizens because, they're talking about the mainstream kids, they turn into different kinds of citizens because they're thinking outwardly all the time. And as a music teacher myself, my background is in music, one thing that tends to happen in music, in regular music education, is because music education tends to be very left brain. You have to practice these scales. You have to put this fingering down. You have to make sure you don't sing this note out of tune. What this, it's all about, which encourages people to be very self-conscious, which is why people tend to give up music. So many people learned a musical instrument and went into it. You're smiling there. Was that you?
I played a saxophone in sixth grade.
And what happened?
I gave it up.
Because?
It was hard. I had to breathe through the diaphragm and then out the nose. I don't know.
Yeah, but you could have just played. You know what I mean? So that's the left brain stuff, you see. Yeah. Not that the advice you're giving is wrong. But if you'd gone and played with the seniors on our programs and played with the seniors and seen that the main purpose of music is not to get your breathing right, but is to benefit people, which it does, you'd probably still be playing. So this has, for me, this has a lot of impact into music education too.
So maybe the music teacher was approaching it from the wrong perspective, spending too much time focusing on my breathing instead of the joy I was giving to others.
Well, let me tell you a story about that, if we have time. Do you have time to take
another minute or so?
Okay, I'll make this really quick. A man I know came back afterwards who was very overweight and was chain smoking. And he said, when I was 14, he heard me talk about all this stuff. He said, I've got a story. He said, when I was 14, I was bursting to play the saxophone. And he was bursting, believe me. And he said, the teacher, he went and auditioned for the teacher. And the teacher said, I'm sorry, you're unmusical, you can't play. Because she was in a bad mood.
Right.
Well, just imagine she hadn't been in a bad mood. And she'd said, you want to play? Play, which is what we believe. He'd have picked it up. He had a lot of music inside him that was, quotes, bursting to come out. He'd still be playing, and the saxophone is played through the mouth, right? Which means that he'd probably be less overweight and that he wouldn't be smoking. Maybe the smoking is because he couldn't play the saxophone.
Right.
So his whole life would have been different just because the music teacher was in a bad mood.
Okay, all you sixth graders out there, remember that. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this message.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Also located in Fishkill.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. As I said, we're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And you can learn more about our law firm, Littman Crooks, at littmancrooks.com. Tonight our guest has been Peter Muir, who's the Director of Institute for Music and Health. And Peter, I'm sure after this fascinating discussion, people want to know how to find out more information. So how can they do that?
Okay, they can go to the web, and they can find us at www.musichealth.net. That's musichealth.net.
One word.
Well, yes, musichealth.net.
And for people who aren't computer literate?
They can give us a ring.
At?
845-677-5871.
And final thoughts for those people out there who are in band in middle school and high school and they're thinking about giving it up, what should they think about?
What they should think about is, what they should remember is why they decided to play up and take up an instrument in the first place. They took it up because, like my friend I was talking about before, they were bursting with enthusiasm and bursting with music. Now, Dr. Diamond, who has developed this whole approach that we do, he wrote a little statement, which is this. He says, to die not having released the music inside you is a tragedy. And the important thing is to release the music. Don't worry so much about whether it's in tune.
Peter Muir, thanks for being on the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Bernie Crooks. We'll see everyone next week. Good night.
When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know.